Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to this week's Deliciously Stella None the Wiser. So this year I felt a bit of a sea change and I found myself not enjoying something that I used to absolutely love. This week we're going to be talking about clubbing, or as Flick likes to call it. As usual, I'm back in the studio with my friend Flick. How are you doing, Flick?
Pretty good, thanks, Bella. And you?
Not too bad. Have you had a lovely week?
It's been the same as every other week. Sort of a solid 6.2.
So this week, we're going to be talking about clubbing. Now, clubbing is something that's very close to my heart because I think that I pursued nightclubbing a bit like an Olympic sport throughout the majority of my 20s. I enjoyed it more than anyone else.
Whereas I think for me, it's probably the best thing about being in the twilight of my 20s that I can finally take off the mask that I had to wear back in the day in my youth, that I enjoyed clubbing as you did, Bella, whereas I've always hated it. And it's just the most delicious feeling in the world that it's just not expected in the same way as it used to be.
But Fig and I used to go to nightclubs together all of the time. Like, we used to go underage clubbing, as everyone does, a lot. And how Flick managed to get in anywhere, I just don't know. Like, you looked like an embryo when you were 18.
I know, and it didn't even help that I was never brave enough to, you know, send off for a fake ID. So what I did use was my older sister's passport from when she was 8 years old. So I actually got into clubs somehow, looking like a child, using another child's passport.
I mean, my mum actually bought me my first fake ID when I was 16. She bought me a national identity card off the internet. It cost £10. And I remember being in a queue for a club once and the bouncer just coming outside and going, "Anyone with one of those fucking pink things, you can go fucking home." And literally the whole queue just turned on their heels and walked away.
Oh, so much for Sal trying to keep you cool.
Oh, no, absolutely trying to keep me cool.
But there were options that we ended up doing when inevitably we didn't get in anywhere. And I do remember, whereabouts was it? Somewhere in Chelsea, I think, that we used to end up in Le Shop.
But the pancake place that sold cocktails.
Yeah, so basically it was just one dodgy Lebanese guy who served crepes. It's one of those things that feels like a weird dream, but definitely did used to happen. We would go downstairs where we would smoke way too many Camel Blues that they used to have in those vending machines that they no longer have. And then also smoke shisha, eat crepes, and inevitably just end up talking to the Lebanese man till the wee hours in the morning. And then we'd just go home.
I feel like everyone has that underage club in their town where they know that's the only place where they'll definitely get in. Like, I grew up in Edinburgh and we had somewhere called Garibaldi's and had a light up dance floor, a mirrored ceiling and a pole. And I spent like a lot of my formative years thinking that I could pole dance.
Why is that a thing? Why do we all think we can pole dance when we're in clubs?
I mean, you used to just hurl yourself into the air and expect to be carried to just end up flooring entire groups of men.
100% until I was escorted out by bouncers telling me you didn't put your shoes on.
So one of my favourite things that ever happened in that nightclub Garibaldi's is I went with a really good friend of mine from home, and she met a man and he told her that he just got back from Afghanistan. So she gave him a hand job under the table. And ever since then, we've known her as Hand Jobs for Heroes.
Sorry.
So Flick, what is it that you hate so much about clubbing?
I don't know where to start. So actually I do. Let's start in the queue. Because I don't want to queue for anything, really. But the difference between me queuing in a supermarket is that I know that there's a pack of Tanfastics or something in my trolley that is the reward at the end of it. What is the reward at the end of a club queue? You smell, you're sweating, you've spent £1 million on alcohol that you don't want, you've been groped by a stranger, and more times than not, I'm the one that gets lost and left behind in the Uber. There is no reward at the end of that queue, so that's why I hate it to begin with. Please, let's just talk about Freshers Week and those first clubbing experiences at uni.
I mean, I was so desperate to convince everyone that I was cool at Freshers Week that I lit a flaming Sambuca in my mouth and I hadn't wiped my mouth properly. So I burnt all the way up my cheek like a Chelsea smile. I had to walk around for the whole of the first 2 weeks at university with this scar on my face. Everyone thought I was so weird.
So no Freshers romance for you then, Belle?
No, absolutely not.
See, I think I lasted all of about 4 minutes on the first night in Dublin, where I was at uni, when we had to go to one of those traffic light parties, just my idea of hell. However, the fellow flatmates that I had in the halls that we were put in were rather more keen, and I came back to find this very sweet, innocent young Irish girl from, I think she was from Kilkenny, losing her virginity on our kitchen table while she was dressed as an angel, and the boy, whom I don't believe she knew particularly well, was dressed as a priest. She spent the next 2 weeks going to church every day confessing. She's probably still doing her Hail Marys now.
I feel like I graduated from one type of nightclub to another. So I think for my sort of the first half of my first year, it was all quite innocent and fun. And then for the second half, I got really, really into raving, or, you know, probably more accurately, raving. So I went to school with a lot of quite posh people who got really, really into dance music, and we thought we were so safe.
Yeah, whereas I actually didn't feel very safe around you. I felt more scared, especially with the costumes that came with it.
You know, so I went through a period where I only wore neon and lamé, and I used to wear this pink vest that had an upside down smiley face on it and a t-shirt that said pump up the jam and pretty much nothing else.
What I love also is that it was always the same sized pair of lamé shorts, and obviously there were periods where, because you were raving so hard, you forgot to eat, in which case they worked wonders. But then sometimes you'd go through good, you know, periods of abstinence when Domino's was your best friend. So they always looked slightly different on you depending where your head was at.
Are you trying to say that I got fat at university? Because I did.
I'd just say festively full.
Festively plump.
There we go. I think I've always had a bit of a phobia of kind of dressing up and really showing that I'm on a night out per se, which stems from the first party get-up I was made to wear by my dear mother, which was probably our first experience really of clubbing, age kind of 12, 13, when we went to a charity run Capital VIP party, the Feathers. And that was a real rite of passage, wasn't it? It was the first time that you slow danced with a boy or kissed a boy. And you included, you know, most people wore the obligatory outfit, no matter what stage of puberty or lack thereof you were at, which was a tartan miniskirt, knee-high boots, maybe a little corset number, train tracks, and aggressively straightened hair with a touch of turquoise eyeliner. Somehow I missed that memo, and because I was too small to even go into shops where they sold those kind of clothes, I wore a crushed blue velvet skirt that had feathers on the bottom, it came just below the knee, from Jigsaw Junior, and a matching crushed blue velvet jacket with feathers down the middle of it, and a little, just to, you know, tie the whole thing together, a little blue feathered headband. Now, I was so horrendous looking that my sister and her friend, so worried were they that I wouldn't be asked to dance, which obviously was the most important thing of the night, had asked this friend's younger brother, who was also going to be there, to make sure that he'd asked to dance with me, not dance for me. That would have been horrifying. He actually came up to me during the party with a little gaggle of his mates standing behind him, and he went, look, I'm really sorry to be, you know, a bit of a dick, but I know I meant to ask you to dance, but I just really can't. But can we just agree to tell our sisters that we did dance? And you know what? So sad was I that I was actually delighted, because I was like, now I can say I've danced with someone and they're never going to call me a liar.
I remember those snogging competitions were absolutely rife at those parties as well. I think that the only day girl in our year, who I won't name, I think she snogged 13 people in one night.
Mm-hmm. I remember going back when I was far too old to be there, just because I heard that Daniel Radcliffe might be there too. And I mean, to say that you've kissed Harry Potter, who wouldn't? I'd be still going there now.
I actually went to a play the other day that Daniel Radcliffe was in, because I knew there was an after party that I'd managed to get myself an invite for, and I lurked aggressively because he is Harry Potter and he didn't come and talk to me. And I think that someone somewhere knows, and they've been like, she's here, just like, don't approach.
Oh, and you didn't even have your invisibility cloak on.
I was so uncool that a friend of mine came to visit me at university, and he saw me and my friends all dancing in a circle around one of our handbags in a club, and he just turned to me and he went, you lot are all just a bunch of sad blonde ravers. And we still call each other the SBRs.
I love that. I always feel, well, I don't feel jealous that I don't get included, because you really earned that title and earned the right to your exclusivity.
I used to tell people that I could take like 10 pills in one night and that I was like born in fabric.
Also, didn't you go and pick up your pingers on a BMX?
I used to ride a BMX around university, indeed. I think I must have ridden it about 10 metres every time. They're really difficult to ride, BMXs.
Well, just to up your street cred.
Yeah, absolutely, to up my street cred. I made everyone buy it for me for my birthday. But I was, because I hate bicycles, I had a sort of pink gel cushion that I sat on to make it more comfortable, which really got rid of the cred. And I insisted on wearing a helmet absolutely everywhere.
When did you decide to leave your raving behind? Or indeed, have you? Because rumour has it that you are out this weekend.
I would say that I've got one foot in the rave.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'd agree.
So, yeah, no, I sort of abandoned it after... There was a period at uni, I don't know if it happened for you guys in Dublin, but then when methadone was really, really massive.
It happened, but you know, Bella, I was never cool enough to be invited to those parties.
Yeah, so methadone was this horrible, I'm sure everyone knows, this horrible like club drug that was legal at the time. So it got absolutely everyone, people who didn't normally take drugs, started taking it, and it was everywhere, and it stank like cat piss.
No, it didn't. It actually smelt like old, like an old open bottle of Malibu, because people used to come back sort of sweet smelling. I remember it very clearly.
I once lent our Hoover to a boy's house down the road, and they took a lot of methadone. And then when they gave it back, every time you hoovered the house, the whole house would smell of it.
Vile.
Because it was so vile. And this boy actually dealt methadone using business cards. So the day that it became illegal, his house got raided by the police and he was duly arrested. How stupid do you have to be to use business cards to deal your drugs?
What did it say on the business card?
It said, bleep bleep, for all your party needs.
And you, my friend, were number one customer.
Number one customer on my BMX. Yeah, I knew, I had a Ford Cat at the time, and I used to drive around university playing drum and bass so loudly that everyone outside the car would know that I was listening to drum and bass and therefore think that I was really cool.
Did they, though? Did they really think you were
no,
really
nobody
cool?
Thought I was cool. I was the least cool person who's ever existed on Earth. I was the worst. So when I was part of the SBRs, I was friends in particular with this girl called MDMA Barbie. And we called her that because she used to wear about a million weaves in her hair and her bedroom looked like a weave graveyard. And when I was living with her, I once was really bored and I decided I was going to take a picture of myself with all of her sex toys and send it to my other friend in the library. So I went into her bedroom and I opened her drawer and I was like, oh, whip, seen that before. What I thought was a paddle, it was actually a clothes brush. And then I found this thing and I couldn't identify it. I was like, it looks like a sort of a riding hat, but with a dildo attached. So naturally, I did what any sensible person would do, and I went in and I got it and I put it on the kitchen table and I went upstairs and I lay in wait. And MDMA Barbie got back from the library and was like, what the fuck is my childo doing on the table?
Do you know what I love, Bella, is that you say that you were going to send this photo to one friend. I was in a different country at the time and I saw that photo.
It was so good. Yeah, so it was a childo, which is a chin dildo, so you can have sex with your girlfriend while you're going down on her. And they say there aren't enough female engineers.
Right, Belle, so with just a couple of months to go until you do hit 30, you're currently one foot in the rave. Is this it now? Are we going to pack it up?
So I think that whatever happens, there will always be a little bit of a raver in me. Like, I'll probably be that weirdo in their 70s who's a graver in the club. Like, you know when you're sort of, you're in a sort of a big group and you're listening to a DJ and then you turn to your left and you realise that there is someone as old as your dad next to you and you're like, come on, mate, it's over. I will be that person. It will not be over for me. For my friend's 30th, I recently went to Berlin and it was amazing. It was so much fun. But I got back and I was like, God, I think those days are over. I mean, I tried to get myself sectioned on the Wednesday.
Bella, if you insist on having a rave as your retirement party, I promise you that I will don the glad rags and I will make an exception to my anti-clubbing rule. That's how much I love you.
Thank you so, so much. I don't think I'm going to do it. I don't think actually I can really sort of withstand prolonged nights out. Sort of like I can do one night and it takes me about 2 days to recover now, but I can't do more than that. Or I know I will be like calling the Priory and asking them to get a bed ready.
But Belle, I know that you adore the clubbing itself, but you have to remember that there's all of the other bullshit that happens around it. So you've got pre-game, then you've got clubbing, then you've got after the event, whether that's an after party, the journey home. There's got to be something that you really don't like.
I really don't like those chicken shops that try and pass off nuggets that are actually toenails. That I do not believe that any of that stuff that's marketed as chicken has ever seen a chicken.
Sorry for the delay, but I was just sick in my mouth.
I was on my way back from a festival the other day. It was like a day festival thing, and I got a taxi back at 1 a.m, and I was absolutely starving on my way back, and I stopped at one of those chicken shops, and I bought one of those toenail burgers. And the next day is the worst I have felt in the last 5 years.
I remember once waking up and my boyfriend at the time had been out raving and had obviously come home. I'd been asleep. And the first thing that happened was I swung my little feet out of bed, stood up and stood right into a half-eaten punnet of curry sauce chips. Needless to say, he's no longer with me. That's one where I broke up with him.
See, I was at uni in Newcastle and the after club eating game was a really big thing. So they had like disco chippies where they played music and stuff. And I would always order some chips with cheese and gravy and garlic sauce. That is disgusting.
You animal. I did have the perk of living with an Italian girl once. And whereas everyone else was, as you said, queuing up for the cottage, she would come back, no matter how drunk she was, and make the most incredible Italian food. So she'd literally be like, oh, it's just something simple if you want, some spaghetti alla carbonara. Even though this was 5 o'clock in the morning and she was off her nut, it would be delicious every time.
God, what a treat.
Yeah, the only good thing that ever came out of those experiences.
So all this talk of food has actually got me really hungry. Shall we go for dinner?
Yeah, let's.
Thanks so much for joining us this week and letting me relive my errant youth. Next week, we will be back and we will be talking about hobbies. If you're enjoying the new series of the podcast, please do subscribe. You can find us on iTunes or Acast. Or if you want to get in touch directly, you can email me at deliciouslystella@gmail.com or find me on Instagram at deliciouslystella. See you next time.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.